and I will just take a moment and we'll start.
Oh shit, before
you start. Asshole.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is comedian Joseph Scrimshaw. We talked with Joseph about why it seems so many comedians are atheists and agnostics, and we also get to answer five questions from Joseph.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And the other fabulous co-host, Molly Glover.
I'm another kind of fabulous.
It's a different but equally impressive
I'm
fabulous.
An acquired taste.
You're a set in your movie yeah. from the 80s. Another kind of fabulous.
And we are joined by our good friend, Joseph Scrimshaw, returning yay. Guest. Hi, Joseph. Thanks
I'm
for coming.
Not fabulous. Not in the way Molly
you're all right.
or Nick is. I'm all right. I'm another kind of
all you're right. another kind of all right.
Maybe you're more like a Liza Minnelli fabulous.
Oh, wow. I can just go.
Do you love me now, mama? Do you love me now?
Joseph, you recently moved out to L.A. from Minnesota.
Yep.
And so it's been great. It's great that you're back here. We're recording at Convergence and you're back in town. So we wanted to bring you on to talk about this topic. That I've noticed just as I've gotten to know more people in the comedy community here in the Twin Cities and watched more comedians, how so many comedians talk about the fact that they don't believe in God. Either they talk about being an atheist or they talk about being an agnostic. And the question is that just, you know, as somebody who's in comedy and as somebody who's an atheist, is that something that I'm noticing or is that really a tendency of people?
Is it confirmation bias?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that the basic thing is that comedy is designed to tear down in anything that in the bigger and more pompous of the structure, the more you want to tear it down. I mean, there isn't really a bigger or older or more self-serious structure than religion.
Yeah.
So I think it is natural for people who have a leaning to tear apart ideas in the form of comedy to tear apart religion.
That makes sense. I never would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's deconstruction.
Well, the idea that you, I mean, especially because the way you find humor a lot of times is you take something that's sacred and you poke holes in it, you skewer it and make people laugh at, you know, things about their own sacred cow, as it were.
Yeah, and I think that as you look at the Bible and you go, wow, there are a whole bunch of things I can make fun of in this because it's really kind of ridiculous.
I can totally riff the Bible.
Also, by the way, if you read the Bible and the first thing you think is, my God, there's so much great comedy fodder in here, you might not be a religious person by nature. That
also,
might not be for you.
You might be a sociopath.
Never heard of this
Then we're all sociopaths.
Well, if you get to, in the Old Testament, you're like, oh, that's a hearty chuckle. Like, I don't know, man.
10 peg right through the head.
Yeah. Yes.
Some Dexter shit. I don't know.
I'm pissed off at humankind. What could I do? Well, I could explain to them how they could do things better, or I could kill them all in a fight.
Yeah, they all drowned.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, I think, in comedy lately about punching up, in particular in Twitter battles, about, you know, what is okay comedy, what is offensive comedy, the difference between a rape joke and a rape culture joke.
Yeah.
Right.
People
have
been using the punch up phrase a lot, which is great, of the, you know, attack things and people that are above you. So even if you did believe in God, you could not punch up more than punching God in the heavens.
Yeah.
That's punching pretty high.
That's
like
punching,
if anyone can take a joke, it would be someone who's omnipotent, right? Like,
That's what always bugs me about the blasphemy laws thing. It's like, why would you legislate something? What wouldn't God be the one?
If you don't like blasphemy, don't let me do it.
God's
not going to let these heartless liberals win, right?
Yeah.
He'll take care of it.
Eventually, God will make it right. Isn't that God's job?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what the Lake of Fire is for.
Is that what God's job is? I've been wondering all this time.
It's kind of been kicking back for 2,000 years. I certainly know people in like the Minneapolis theater community who are very religious.
Yep.
They're open about it, but not at all in your face about trying to get other people to agree with the beliefs.
Well, there's a huge difference.
Like, hugely
that's
funny
so
people who have, like, a huge amount of faith in their lives.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's, like, impossible to be faithful. To be full of faith. That's right.
Filled.
That's a religious thing to say, right?
Yeah, that sounds legit.
Faithful,
like we would know.
Yeah, faith. appreciate and understand comedy. But I think especially as you get into sort of anything that's like stand-up or improv where the fourth wall is down, you're expressing more of yourself, it's natural to express things that you have doubts about. So I think even if you did believe, it is hard to not question that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel... I feel like a lot of comedy is based on, or at least has like a fulcrum of self-deprecation and the ability to laugh at yourself. Like the best comedians I know anyway, like are able to laugh at themselves more and the situations they find themselves in.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if the reason that the people that we know who are, you know, who have faith, who are, you know, theists as it were, if the reason that they are not proselytizers is because of that innate comedic ability to self-deprecate and say, to step back from yourself and say, it's funny that these things, I mean, I believe in it, it's funny. Religion can be funny and still meaningful to me.
Yeah. Like, I believe in this, I have personal faith in this, but here's why it's ridiculous to be Jewish or ridiculous to be Lutheran and the ridiculous little structures.
Yeah.
And poking fun at the structure.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people I know in the comedy community who are Christian, and generally because we're in America, they're Christian. I don't really know people of other faiths in the comedy community.
Well, we're in Minnesota, there's not as many Jews. Like, I mean, just in general, they're...
Certainly, yeah. Not the Jewish would be the other faith that we would likely
encounter.
There's
no Jews in comedy.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
Chosen few.
Yeah. But,
and Gilbert Gottfried is eight of them.
But
they are generally the what
sort
I would call
Jewish,
you know, the kind of hippie liberal Christians that are I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but you believe in whatever you want.
It's
because
you spent
30
years at Fest.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
really.
Good. You know, our friend Don Krasnowski, very, very funny. And she's a Christian, and
what?
I remember when
I would never have known that.
No,
that's amazing. That doesn't happen often where you don't
but
know.
She doesn't really talk about it. And she, when I was telling her we were going to Grace Megachurch for Geeks of God, she's like, oh, you shouldn't go there. Go to my church. We're a lot nicer. And I'm like, that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
We don't want to go to the hippie liberal.
We know there's nice churches where everyone loves everybody and actually does what Jesus said, but this is a horrible, hateful place. We want to see them.
And it's got a bigger screen.
Yeah, we want to see the seedy underbelly, not the, oh yeah, these people
are
fine.
It's not
really
the seedy underbelly. It's more like the gold-covered, like...
The gilded
enormous,
underbelly.
The gilded underbelly,
oh,
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that term.
That's the name
my
of the
tavern name. The gilded underbelly. Yeah, I love it.
You'll get your quests at the gilded underbelly.
Having
the
moved to LA and being
rogues.
More, and you've also been, I think, transitioning more to doing stand-up comedy versus writing shows and those kind of things. Have you encountered, do you encounter the same kind of thing that I've been seeing here, that a lot of the stand-up community is sort of the not, I think, agnostic and atheist. I think a lot of them, like a lot of the comedians I know are like, well, I don't want to commit to being atheist, you know, because then I've actually committed to something.
Yeah. I've been to a decent amount of shows and open mics, and I've kind of seen the range that we're talking about. I think I've seen two Jewish comedians who have a lot of Jewish material.
Mm-hmm.
I think I maybe saw one other person who just did, it wasn't even a joke, they just got to the point of like, God, that's ridiculous, what the fuck is wrong with you, and like that was the punchline, like that level, like, fuck you idiots. So I've seen that, and then I think just a lot of people who are punching at not even belief, but just kind of like the horrors of organized religion and all of the problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
You could be religious and do that same. I mean, you could be like not okay with how organized religion impacts the world negatively as a religious person, and you could be doing that same comedy hypothetically.
Yeah. Now I've seen, I sometimes I go down rabbit holes that I shouldn't go down, but I've seen several videos of Christian comedians.
What?
Oh, really?
And I don't want to air quote it because
is that like Christian rock music? Like,
yes, it's literally like these are hardcore fundamentalist Christians who do their thing in churches.
Wow.
And they do this stand-up routine.
Oh, my God.
You know, and their stand-up routine, a huge chunk of it is, you know, all these funny reasons why evolutionists are wrong.
Oh,
wow. And they really do behave like they're punching up, you know, because there is a persecution complex in the far-right religious community. They really feel like they are punching up when they're...
Because they think they're being kept down by scientists and being kept down by the government. And, yeah, that's amazing.
And the thing that's interesting about that is... I know that I'm biased because I think they're fucking idiots. But it's not funny unless you're religious. There is no portal into it. And the thing that I've seen about comedians who talk about their atheism on stage is there's a portal there for people who are religious to still think what they're saying is funny. Because there's a self-deprecating nature to the fact that they don't believe in God. Elizabeth S., who's been a guest on our podcast, is a great example. She's got material about being an atheist. And the material she uses is never like, ha, 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 look at those religious people. They're fucking morons. It's like, look at me, I'm an atheist, and look at all the things that are a problem because of that.
She says, she starts that bit by saying, so I'm an atheist. I don't believe in Kanye West. Like, right off the bat, it's religious people aren't the butt of that joke.
Yeah, they're thrown off, too, because it's like, you think that she's going to go, you know, into a long, maybe, you know, navel-gazing exploration of what that means, and instead she just makes a Kanye joke, and you're, like, snapped out of where you were,
And that type of comedy, I just, you know, I watch it, and I'm just like, wow, there's no portal for me to go, you know what, I don't agree with you. But you're still funny.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's something about, like, something, I mean, besides, like, what we talked about, like, the tearing down, the punching up, is there just something about being a comedian and being around other comedians and how we all, I mean, all the comedians I know are going to be more dark, you know.
Yes.
Like,
cynical,
and,
maybe.
Well, and you know, offensive comedy, more, at least enjoying that kind.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of comedians who are like, oh, I don't like that. Like, I only
do touchy-feely comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
I only do Bill Cosby. Yeah,
or who wouldn't like Bill? How's that? That's a good way to, you know, to market. And so, do you think that, like, hanging around comedians long, like, the longer... I mean, have you ever known anyone who maybe came faithful and then after, a few... like 5-6 years in comedy
lost their faith
or at least came to the realization that maybe they never had it to begin with or whatever.
Yeah, I think that even if somebody came, like, to stand up in particular as a person who truly believed in God, that they would probably shut up about it pretty quickly, because I think there is a strange peer pressure in the stand up community to generally tend toward the angry. And we've talked about this before. Like, I love what you guys do with Ville, because I feel like you make it really clear what the game is, and people can enjoy the game. And I feel like that is so lacking in stand-up comedy, where people just think anger and hate is funny. Like, they lost
just
a little
ranting.
Finesse of, like, I should set up that I'm going to say something hateful, and then it'll be fun and playful that I say something hateful.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, hey, you fuckers, I hate you!
Yeah.
Enjoy comedy! Good night! Like, I feel like if you're in that sort of toxic environment and attitude, that is going to corrupt you wanting to say anything nice about God.
There's that sloppy tendency with some comedians to go, well, what this other say, well, let's say Daniel Tosh, well, look what Daniel Tosh is doing, and, you know, well, that works, so I'll do the same thing and it'll work, instead of, well, he establishes who he is.
Yeah, also, like, his ability to, like, people's different cadence and rhythm and their flow, it's going to matter a whole lot.
Sure.
Like, I could do Chris Rock's entire routine, but it's not going to be, it's
not
going to work.
I
can think of a certain part of it that really won't work.
I'd still like to see it.
I guess my point was, the best comedians find their personal voice, not try to imitate somebody else's personal voice.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tosh. I mean, he's also incredibly... is really weird combination of self-deprecation but also, like, tremendous ego, where in one minute he can be saying, like, yeah, I've got a television show, like, you know, an actual brag about having a television show on his television show, but then in the next thing he's like, talking about how he's driving like his shitty Honda Accord or whatever. And so it's I feel like if the person's willing, if they're a mean comedian or the mean comedy is their style, but they're also being mean to themselves, it's you can establish like an equal footing. Like it's like, don't worry, everyone's up for grabs. Well, like even me, like I'm an asshole too. That's
it's interesting, Tim, what you said about you know, you explore your personal voice and find your personal voice to be a really truly successful comedian. Do you think that that introspection and like finding your personal voice leads a lot of people to stop believing in God and things that like as they kind of do some self-discovery, like they actually start to think about themselves in a like a separate from their upbringing and separate from their community?
I think so, because kind of the stuff that we were talking about at the top. I think if you're going to be a really analytical comedian, that means you're going to start analyzing belief structures,
right?
And that's might lead to some doubt.
Yeah. I have this, you know, because a lot of times you think about it, it's like, oh, well, who am I? What makes me funny? And people, a lot of times doing stand-up, you know, it's easy to start with your childhood. You know, like, oh, I had a crazy childhood. Oh, then here's things that happened to me as a kid. And, you know, the more you start to explore that, I think people must realize that they are separate from these ideas that they've been drilled into, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I think as you... certainly remembering, you know, I was starting to get into comedy around the time I was starting to go, well, I don't know that I believe in God. There is that exploration of self, and as you're going, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? What do I think? And so maybe that plays into it.
Mm-hmm,
I don't
mm-hmm.
know the figuring out what kind of comedian am I?
Yeah.
And I think that. As a comedian, I've said it before on this podcast. You look at things and you go, "Well, what's funny? What's funny to me?" And religion is funny to me.
Mm.
It's just the whole idea of religion is funny to me. This idea that we're going to get together and create a community around an imagined event. that if I sit there and I look at this book, this tome that they are using to talk about all this imagined stuff, it doesn't logically connect. And that's the point.
It doesn't logically connect, and that's the point.
There are more questions than there are answers, and when you start asking the questions, it starts getting funnier. And then you kind of go, well, then I got to dispose of this as being anything but a source for comedy.
Yeah.
The far-right comedians that you're talking about sort of scare/fascinate me.
Yeah.
Because I think that so much of what is funny, like, I think if you're a skilled comedian, you can kind of lay out the logic so that people can see something new, but so much of it is just sort of intrinsic of we have these, like, deeply held beliefs. Like, I always think of, like, when you tell, like, a really young kid, like, well, what is the sound that a goat makes? Moo. And then like, the kid loses their shit because they just go, that's wrong, that's wrong.
Oh my God, it's like you've never even heard a goat.
It's so wrong. So the idea that there'd be an audience who has it so truthfully, intrinsically in them that evolution is that wrong, that elicits a laugh, you know, that it's not even an intellectual thing.
Yeah.
It is something is kind of deep and basic is what sound does a goat or a cow make?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we just know that.
Yeah, and so, haha, it's funny that somebody wouldn't know that. Haha, those ignorant people. I can't remember the name of the website, because there's like a BuzzFeed-style website. Not a BuzzFeed, the Upworthy.
Yeah.
An Upworthy-style website,
kind of
except
right.
It's all Christian videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the rabbit hole that I went down one day.
You won't believe how many times this young boy got molested.
It was like, you know, this comedian asks a question that atheists can't answer. He destroys their entire argument with this one hilarious thing at 3 minutes and 25 seconds.
It's rapture worthy.
Is that what it is? I gotta find
up,
it.
Up, up, and up worthy.
I gotta find it and link to it in the show notes.
All the way
although I warn listeners that you really shouldn't go there because it will suck.
But if they go there from our site, then that's the kind of they're gonna see in their own site.
At least turn on like ad block or something.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating.
Boy, I'm trying to. I just have this really. It's loosely formed. I can't like voice it, but I have this just amazing image in my head of a guy just being like doing like Seinfeld style, like what's the deal with? But then like so what's the deal with evolutionary scientists? I mean like we're from monkeys, we're from apes. I mean, make up your mind.
That is about the level of joke. I'm not even kidding you. That is about the level of joke.
A part of me kind of thinks like, is this a market that I could unethically exploit for money? Like,
it is, because
could we get into writing comedy
for these
people?
It is, because all of these people talk about they get done with their comedy routine at these mega churches with thousands of people in them, and the last thing they do is say, "Oh, and by the way, you know, buy my book, buy my comedy album, buy my CD, right out in the lobby." And you know that in this church filled with 1,000 people, they walk out of that comedian show and what, 200-300 of them.
So we need
something?
Pseudonyms to do.
I know, I'm just saying, we need to come up with a comedy duo, a married husband and wife comedy duo, and it'll be like Mrs. Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian. You know that
right.
Hilarious satire page,
yeah.
And it'll just be like that, and they'll pay us money, and they'll never know.
So, Joseph, if the comedy thing in LA doesn't work out, I think this is a good idea.
Yeah,
absolutely. I would want to always be like hooked up to wires, so I could be like raptured in the middle of my set every time.
Oh my god!
Given the tech they had over at Grace Church, I think that they could probably do that for you.
When they call your name, a woman rolls away a stone, and then you come out from
the... Hey, everybody!
We just added a third night.
So it's time for 5 questions. Joseph,
all right.
You have been a guest with us.
Scrimshaw! It's the third Scrimshaw, brother!
Jesus Scrimshaw.
Yeah. Joseph, Joshua, and Jesus.
So you have been a guest on our podcast
Jesus
before. That means that you need to ask us 5 questions.
Yeah.
Okay. You have 5 questions prepared?
Yeah. Do you guys all answer the questions?
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah. Okay. Do you like pie?
The mathematical symbol or the actual baked good?
I wrote down the actual baked good.
The physical one, not the conceptual one.
Yeah.
Pie over cake.
You are really an atheist. Not this fantasy fucking pie. A real pie that science can prove.
Fucking pie.
Oh,
yes.
That
do you like
pie.
Fucking pie? That's it.
It depends on the pie, but yes. We were just talking in the last episode we recorded.
Right.
About key lime pie. So, yes, I really do like key lime pie a lot.
I prefer cake to pie, but
okay.
I will... I don't know.
Sorry.
I like... I don't like double crust pies all that much. I like a single crust pie. Yeah.
All right.
Pie's the way to go.
You like
pie? Pie's great.
All right.
But,
sweet.
Would you rather shoot fire out of your hands or emit a Wi-Fi signal?
Whoa!
Wait, the Wi-Fi signal... So, like, basically I'd have internet with me wherever I went?
Yeah. Like, you'd have to concentrate a little bit. Like, you'd have to, like, shoot it out.
Sure. Can I lock it? Can I lock it? Like, can it be password protected? Or can anyone get on my Wi-Fi?
Yeah, you could sense that some asshole in the next room is getting in on your Wi-Fi.
All right. I'm going to go with Wi-Fi signal.
I want to do that too, but it feels like nobody's picked fire out of their hands, and I feel like that means that I need to decide why fire out of my hands would be better.
It's a really tricky decision because... the internet is really, really important to me. I'd say, how much money would I save on my phone bill
right?
if I, you know, had Wi-Fi with me everywhere I went? Also, I would essentially be a part of the internet. Me, myself, would be considered, like, a part of the internet,
the
which
dream,
is
right?
awesome and terrible. But
so,
at the same time, fire from your hands is fire from your hands.
What if you shoot fire accidentally at your hands because you got emotionally, what if you were getting upset or, I don't know, aroused... And all of a sudden you just are like you're like taking out your dick and you just burn yourself. I mean, well, you don't know. What if you don't control it? There's too many variables in fire coming out of your hands.
I do like the idea that you have to be masturbating in order to emit a Wi-Fi signal.
Well, then I'll have Wi-Fi all the time.
Yeah. You'll never have to worry
right
about
now.
Getting access to porn.
Here's what I think. I work out at the Renaissance Festival for many years. And,
constant masturbation.
Like everybody out at the Renaissance Festival can blow fire. It's like you in order to be at the Renaissance Festival, you have to blow fire.
Yeah, I can blow fire for sure.
And all that
fire.
So and there's like one fire pit where there are people that spend all fucking night just blowing fire because it's like their version of masturbation. They just blow fire.
Yeah.
I would just love to be able to go there while they're all blowing fire and go, really? That's what you got? And then just say, then drop the mic and leave. So I'm going to say, that's why I want to have fire shield.
You'd also like a microphone.
Because I think I'd figure out a way to make money on, like,
oh my God.
Could, like, make steam.
I would be the world's first
house,
Wi-Fi prostitute. I would sell my Wi-Fi signal.
Prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
Human hotspot.
Yeah, human hotspot. Oh, my God. That's actually kind
of
hot.
I'd be like the Penn and Teller of fire. That's what I would do with the fire out of my hands.
Fat or quiet?
Maybe both.
Why can't? Yeah, yeah. He can do both. I've seen it.
Quiet fire. Timlick. Horrible. All right, so the next question is, why is Aquaman sad?
Because he's Aquaman.
Pollution.
Because he keeps getting salt water in his whiskey.
I totally thought you were going to say something else. Then whiskey. Admirably clean. All right, so next question. Do you think Cthulhu is an atheist?
Because Joseph said that and looked straight at me, like I'm the one that has the answer to this question.
Well, Cthulhu itself isn't one of the elder gods, but is like the priest of the...
He's pretty close to an elder god.
Yeah.
He's like the next subdivision.
A great
He's more
old
like
one.
A high angel, like an archangel.
Yeah. So I think, no, Cthulhu is not an atheist, though I think Cthulhu is indifferent to godhood.
That's what I would say. I think he's agnostic. He's an apatheist. It doesn't matter to Cthulhu's day-to-day dreaming in real life whether
right.
or not there is any other kind of god in existence. They're not like kaiju that fight. So it's not like you've got Nilarhotep like fighting Cthulhu or like
Hotep or
yeah.
whatever the fuck.
Yeah. yeah. Or the one that sounds like what is it? Oh, Shub-Niggurath.
Right.
The one that's like, oh right, H.P. Lovecraft was a racist. I know because
racist
I'm uncomfortable
partner.
Saying the name of one of his monsters.
So what do you think, Tim? Do you agree that Cthulhu is too self-involved
you know,
to believe in other gods?
I've got to disagree just because that's interesting. I'm going to have to say that I think Cthulhu does. I think he's very devout.
Yeah, yeah.
I think actually he probably believes in the Christian God as well as the other gods because he wants to destroy it.
Mm.
Okay.
So there's a certain superiority sense that he's better than the other gods and his eventual destiny is to help bring down all these other gods. So I think actually, instead of being an atheist, you know, we always talk about as atheists, well, you know, I just believe in one less god than you do. You
mm-hmm.
know, Cthulhu actually believes in all of them.
Sure.
All
sure.
of them.
He wants to kill
it's
them
like
all.
A menu.
He wants to bring them all down. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
A menu.
What do I want tonight? I want Greek. I think I'll eat Zeus.
Yes.
All right. So.
Funny enough, I know some guys who I think have that same nightly.
I want to eat Zeus? Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
Or his friend.
Okay, so last question is, if you could ride any animal, what animal would you ride? And I actually mean for transportation.
I'm so relieved.
Am I the same size as I am, or is the animal the same size as it usually is? Like, can I ride a big goat? Or it has to be
a
regular size
goat?
Or
did you want to ride a small goat?
Well, no, I'm just saying, because like goats aren't usually like molly load bearing size.
Right. No,
generally,
you can make the goat bigger.
I would love to ride, or at least ride in a goat drawn cart.
Yeah.
That's always been a dream. A goat drawn cart.
A couple goats together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like they do in the Wild Hunt in Cargill's books, the beasts from hell ride those. They ride across big black goats. That's their hell, the hell beasts. That's their animal that they ride. So, yeah, goats.
So, you want to ride
dire goats.
Dire goats. I want to ride a dire goat.
No,
that's supposed to be black.
No wonder you like
racist.
That book.
Dire goat.
I'm going to have to, I would love to ride a tiger because that would mean I could pet it.
Would you give
it
a saddle like Cringer, or would you go bareback?
I'd totally bareback the tiger.
You'd bareback
the
tiger.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
is your album cover.
Naked as China Tiger, like one arm like this, just covering the bits perfectly.
When I come out with a solo album, it's going to be barebacking the tiger.
All right.
Oh, like Vaseline lens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the one hand.
That's my new euphemism for masturbation, by the way.
Barebacking the tiger.
Oh, barebacking the tiger.
Barebacking the tiger.
On the one hand, I think. You know, elephants are tried and true, domesticated, like, they've been used in warfare.
They've all been on an elephant.
And Like, an elephant would be awesome because, you know, we wouldn't have to deal with traffic.
Dude, you can do that at the festival any weekend you want.
Right. Well, but as transportation, like my elephant, you know, like my personal elephant.
Like, that'd be great. And then you get inside the elephant.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like you have
but then at the same time, like, I think the idea of having turtle skates would be pretty cool, too. Like one turtle strapped to each foot, and you can just stand, like, carried forward.
I can't believe that you found a way to move even slower than you do by using an animal.
Well, you know, there's two of them. I don't know.
I would love to see
that. The turtles got out of sync, and then just slowly.
Yeah. Right.
Damn it. You're whipping them. They can't feel it because they've got shells.
I have, like, a crossbar or something connecting them.
I want a picture of Nick standing on two turtles. His arms crossed, looking smugly satisfied.
Art friends, please make this happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I want the next piece
you
of
can't
geek.
Skate
yeah,
on
you
them.
Can skate
got
up.
Legs. No,
yeah.
So you want turtles with wheels attached to their
Super Mario turtles.
So you want wheels on their gilded underbellies.
I think so. Yeah.
I want the next Geeks Without God fan art to be a picture of Molly riding giant black goats. I want Nick standing on turtles and me riding
and Tim
a tiger.
Fucking tiger.
Tim
right
riding now. Naked on a tiger.
Naked,
no saddle.
Tiger, yeah, no saddle. Tiger.
And no condom.
being raptured away from this.
Yeah.
Far, far away.
And then also later, a drawing of Tim with tiger AIDS.
sad.
The worst AIDS.
Sad AIDS.
All your lesions
are just there's always a tragic ending when you ride a tiger.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, thanks so much for joining us
again.
So good to see you back in town. If folks want to read your comedy blogging and such, there's a place they could go. Where would that be?
Yes, josephscrimshaw.com.
So easy to remember, josephscrimshaw.com. You also have a podcast, Obsessed.
Yep.
Which I was just on talking about cats, speaking of tigers.
That was fitting because you have a lot of cats.
Yeah, I also did an episode about Raiders of the Lost Ark about 6 months
great.
Ago.
Which is great. It
was
really good.
So, you know, I'll try and link to both of those
awesome.
Because they're awesome. So thanks for joining us. We've been Geeks Without God. If you enjoyed our podcast, please go out to iTunes, rate us, please tell your friends, and make sure you like us on Facebook and you follow us on Twitter. And we are all also on Twitter, Molly at Vu. Nick is at NickIQ, me at PetsNickReggie, and I think I'm done plugging the shit out of ourselves. So, have a lovely evening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Time to go plug some tigers.
Hey, I got some religious humor. Why did the chicken cross the road? Evolution. Fuck those guys.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
I did Obsessed too, so you can link to my episode too.